And we might know, but we want to know what the Bible has to say about these passages of Scripture. And so James chapter 1 and verse 19 is where we are. And our first message tonight is, what does the Bible say about anger? What does the Bible say about anger? James chapter 1 and verse 19, look what the Bible says here, verse 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James chapter 1 and verse 19 teaches us that we are to be slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so what does the Bible say about anger? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful that we can study it tonight. And I pray, Lord, that we would not just be hearers, but doers also. I pray that you would guide us and direct us into the truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So oftentimes when we look at our attitudes and our actions, we use all kinds of excuses. And I don't know about you, but for me, and I'm speaking from experience here, we use all kinds of excuses to justify those actions. And sometimes we blame our culture. Sometimes we blame our background, our upbringing. Sometimes we blame our experiences in life. And then sometimes we blame even our personality. And I don't know if you've used it, but I've probably used it and heard people say, well, that's just who I am. That's just me. The reality is that God is greater than all of these things. And we understand that no matter our upbringing or no matter our culture or no matter our personality, that sin is always sin. And God wants us to be victorious over that sin. Now, of course, all of us struggle and we all have a sinful nature and we understand that. But we know that God is greater and God wants to help us. And so let's dig in to what the Bible has to say here and learn a little bit about anger and what's its purpose and what, you know, what, we know that what the Bible says, but let's dig into this and kind of build it out here tonight. So first of all, in your notes there, think about this. Number one, what is anger? All right, what is anger? Now, people of all ages experience anger. The dictionary describes anger as this: it's a strong passion or a strong emotion of displeasure. Now, although we understand that anger is definitely an emotion, it's often described as a cluster of emotions that involve the body, the mind, and the will. Now, the physical effects of anger can cause us to do a lot of different things. I don't know if you've ever gotten angry and you made a fist. You got so angry, you made a fist. Or you had an elevated heart rate, or your breathing increased because you became angry. Now, this emotion of anger is normally fed by disappointments that we have in our life, hurts, rejections, and even embarrassment that we face. Now, this strong emotion boils up within us, and it affects our actions. Now, I'm sure you've seen in your lifetime, whether it's another child or maybe your own children, I'm sure that you've seen a child take a temper tantrum. And my wife and I were just in a store this afternoon, and there was a child in the hallways of the store, and the child was just losing it. And I mean, there was nothing that the parent could do to calm that child down. Temper tantrums, you know, can be a child lying on the floor, kicking on the floor, screaming at the top of its lungs. One statistic said that 83% of all 2 to 4 year olds have temper tantrums. Now, listen, adults experience that same anger, We just hide it a lot better. At least I hope you do. All of us experience anger. No matter the age of a child, there is this problem of anger. So where did anger come from? Well, letter A on your notes, notice the root of anger. Now, when we read the Bible, there are two descriptions of God that are very important. Now, these descriptions of God are so important that they are his very nature. It is who he is. And the first one is that we read in the Bible that God is a holy God. The Bible says in Psalm 99, verse 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." God is holy. Now this speaks of his nature. His holiness cannot be separated from who he is. God is holy. Now, when we talk about his holiness, we know that he is without sin. He is set apart from sin. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." God is holy. God is without sin. The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is sinless or separated from sin. God is holy, the Bible says. But the Bible also says that God is love. The Bible says this in 1 John 4, verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is holy, and God is love. And from these two natures, God is holy, God is love, God demonstrates anger. Now, this is important. God is holy, and God is love, but God is not anger. God is not anger. God experiences anger and demonstrates anger, but it's because God is holy and God is love that he exercises this anger. And so the Bible teaches us that God is a holy God and a loving God, and from these natures, he experiences anger. Now, I want us to turn to Mark chapter 3, if we turn there. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the third chapter. And I want us to look at verse number 1 now, Mark chapter 3 and verse number 1. And notice what the Bible says here about the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 1, notice what the Bible says. Mark chapter 3, verse 1, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him." So here is a man who is in need of healing, and here is the religious group, and they're just waiting for Jesus to make a mistake so they can pounce on him. And so they're waiting for him to heal on the Sabbath day that they could accuse him. The Bible says in verse 3, "And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is not lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, or to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them," look at this, "he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Now, there's two natures on display in this passage of Scripture: the love of God and the holiness of God. And from these two natures, we see the anger of God presented. The Bible says that God's anger was because of the very hardness of their hearts. This came from God's holiness and love. By the way, if the people would have gotten their hearts right with God, God is love, God would have forgiven them. But they had hardened their hearts toward the Lord. Now, the Bible says this in Psalm 7, verse 11. The Bible says, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." God is angry with the wicked every day. God's concern for justice and righteousness stimulates anger within him. Now, we understand from what the Bible says that we bear the very image of God. We are created by God. We bear the image of God. And the Bible teaches us that after Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that image was marred because of that sin. But there's still a desire for righteousness that's still present within us. I mean, you can get the most wicked person on the earth, and he's still calling for justice. He still wants righteousness or for right living or for people to do what is right. And so we become angry because that image is still present within us. We become angry when we feel like we're not treated the right way or we're treated wrongly. We become angry when we're being dealt with unfairly, or at least we feel like we're being dealt with unfairly. We feel things are not fair. But the reality is that we have a sinful nature, and our anger isn't always justified. A wife can get angry at a husband, or a husband can get angry at his wife because they feel slighted. They feel wronged. Or a father can lose their temper on their children because, you know, the children are playing and being laughed, and he feels like they're not being considerate of him. Or a child can get angry at their parents because the parents may have took a video game away from them, and well, they feel like they're not being treated the same as their siblings. We want what is fair. We want what is just. And this is present in the image of God, but because of sin, that image has been marred. So what is the purpose of anger then? Why do we have this emotion? Well, first of all, know this. Anger is not sin. Anger is not sin. You say, well, how can you prove that? Well, because God experienced anger and he is without sin. We see Jesus on this earth many times experienced anger against wrongdoing. Jesus wasn't pleased when people had hardened their hearts to the truth. He wasn't pleased in the synagogue when they were charging unbelievable amounts of money for sacrifices. They were taking advantage of people, and people were being turned away from God. And so Jesus was angry at these actions. And so anger in itself is not sin. I want to read what one author said about anger. The author said this: anger is to motivate us to take positive, loving action to seek to set a wrong right. He continued to say, anger isn't designed to cause destruction. It's to construct and not to destruct. It's to build and to make things better and to not take or tear things down. Now, let's think about our perception of anger. Is that the perception of anger that you have? Anger at unrighteousness is to make the situation better. All right, so what is anger? Anger is an emotion that is present within God, and it is an emotion of unrighteousness or toward unrighteousness to make the situation better. So here's the problem we have as sinners. Number two, there's the sin in anger. You see, the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not, and sin not. And so the Bible is not condemning the emotion of anger, but it's telling us to be careful that we do not sin within that emotion. You see, it's possible to be angry at sin and to not sin, but it's also possible to be angry and to sin. Someone said this: anger is just one letter short of danger. And so we want to be aware of this. So oftentimes we get the idea that all of our anger is of equal value. I've heard people say something like this: well, Jesus got angry, and so I'm allowed to get angry. And so they justify their anger and their actions, and they believe they can do whatever they want and say whatever they want because, well, Jesus was angry, and so I can be angry. Well, this is a wrong perception of what anger is. I want us to think about a distorted anger. A distorted anger, letter A. You know, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, the glory of God was marred within us. And oftentimes when it comes to anger at unrighteousness, we have a distorted anger. Think about it for just a moment. Anger that God displayed was always justified. The anger that God showed was always valid. But I cannot say the same thing with me. And I'm sure you would agree with me that the same is true with you. You know, my kids may do something that frustrates me. And they're just being kids. They're playing, they're being loud. But then I get angry at their loud talking. I get angry because they do something that maybe it embarrasses me. I get angry because I'm disappointed at them. But listen to me. I'm not angry because they actually do something wrong. What they're involved in is not unrighteousness. It's not sin. And the Bible teaches us that the world is angry at the gospel. They hate the gospel and they have a distorted view of God. And so our anger can be distorted. I want to give you an example of this. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says here of a distorted anger. And this will kind of give us an idea of what I'm talking about. 2 Kings chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. We're going to look at the life of Elisha for just a moment here. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 10. And notice what the Bible says here. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, was angry. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Phaphar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now, in the mind of Naaman, he thought he was wronged by Elisha. He thought Elisha should come out and roll out the red carpet and have all the fanfare and all the events and fireworks in the air and put his hand on him and heal him. And he just thought there should have been a bigger show. He had expectations. And when those expectations weren't met, he was disappointed. And that disappointment meant he became angry. He says, how dare you tell me to wash in that old dirty river? There are a lot of different rivers I could wash in that are cleaner than the Jordan. How dare you tell me? I'm insulted by that. He became angry at a man who was actually trying to help him. Talk about a distorted anger. He wasn't angry at unrighteousness. Elisha didn't do anything wrong. He was angry because he was disappointed. Talk about a distorted anger. What about Jonah? You know what God said to Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, verse 9? And God said to Jonah, does thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Jonah was more angry over the loss of shade than he was over the loss of souls. He had a distorted anger. And so you have to ask yourself the question, is there actually a wrongdoing or a sin that's taking place? You know, if my kids are laughing and they're just having a good time, and maybe I can say, listen, you guys need to settle down, but is it worthy of being angry over it? Are they actually sinning? You know, maybe there's times in our life where we feel like that, you know, someone's not paying attention to me or someone's not meeting my needs. And our response is perceived to be wrong. and we become angry. But if we are angry because a child is too loud, or we are angry because we are disappointed, or we are angry because our expectation is not met, then this is a distorted anger, and it's all about our perception, not in what is righteous or unrighteous. And by the way, if I'm angry at my child because they're laughing and having a good time, and then I become angry because they disobey mom or dad, then what view do they have of sin? What perception do they have of breaking God's law? So number one, there's a distorted view of anger that is a problem, and within the sin of angry, or anger. But number, letter B here, notice this, there's also a loss of control. And we have to be careful because anger can lead to a loss of control. Don't use anger as an excuse to act any way that you want to. Listen to me. Godly anger doesn't cease being godly. Godly anger doesn't cease being godly. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Someone who is so angry that they lose control is on a pathway of sinning more and more. We are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You'd agree with that. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is to influence our life each and every day. And the lack of control in our anger, where we're just spewing out words and we have no control over our actions and no control over what we do. Listen, how is that any different than a drunkard who is influenced by alcohol? It's not godly no matter how we try to twist it. It's like a married couple who's fighting and acting in harsh ways and abusing each other with their words and tearing each other down, having no idea what they're saying and trying to grab words to hurt their spouse even more. Obviously, this is not godly. But when we become so angry that we lose control, we are in dangerous territory. And I believe it is sin. Now, I believe offenses come. Reality is this, especially within a married spouse, married couple, there's going to be differences. But we as believers should always have the spirit of edification and no corrupt communication. Now, I believe the Bible is wonderfully placed, and the Bible, the words that the Bible uses, is wonderfully placed to help us. Listen to these words in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And this, of course, includes our anger. Because if the purpose of anger is to make things better than what it was, it's to build up and not to belittle. It's to build up and not tear down. And so listen to what the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 8. And I think they build on each other. It says, but now ye also put off all of these. Now notice these. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. I think they're building on each other. As someone loses control, we find anger to wrath to malice to blasphemy and to filthy communication out of our mouth, because when we lose control, we just don't know what we're going to say. And so he writes in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. When we think of anger, we always think about, maybe two people hollering at each other, screaming at each other, being mean and unkind. And that's oftentimes the picture I have of anger. But that's not actually a biblical view of anger. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Rebuke isn't being lost in our anger, but it's using anger to build up and to reprove unrighteousness. You know, I think you would agree to me when someone's hollering at someone, it's really hard not to holler back, right? And when someone's angry and all of a sudden someone's, you know, losing their cool and they're screaming at someone, I don't know about you, but my first response is, you want some of this? you want to holler back? And all of a sudden you have a screaming match, right? That's not reproof. That's not rebuke. That's not what God wants us to do. Rebuking a child for their sin is to help them to see that they offended God. It's not to lose control and to get angry at them. It's for them to get right with God. That's the ultimate goal, because they had sinned against God. All sin is against God. And so think about this. As we think about this idea of sin and anger, I think, first of all, there's a distorted anger. I think there's a loss of anger, a loss of control, excuse me. And then thirdly, I want to think about this, a lingering anger. What begins in anger can lead to wrath. And what starts with wrath can become bitterness. And bitterness is a deadly root that begins to affect every area of your life. Proverbs 14:17 says this, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." You know, one thing when we think about the life of the Lord Jesus got angry, but Jesus wasn't known as an angry man. His reputation was not an angry person. Jesus experienced anger, but that wasn't his testimony. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 22 in verse 24? Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You don't want to be that person with a short fuse, ready to explode at any moment. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Couples, listen, don't go to bed angry. Get things right. Don't let anger turn into an emotional blister, which turns into bitterness and affects your life in a negative way. Deal with the issue. Make things right. Be angry, but sin not. And don't let anger linger in your life. So thirdly, and I'll be done, how do we handle anger? All right, so how do we deal with this emotion? How do we process this emotion? Well, I want to give you some thoughts here. And A, B, C, D, really just four thoughts, each starting with the next letter. So starting with A, B, C, D. Hopefully you can remember this quickly and it will be useful for you. When you feel that emotion coming, how can we deal with that emotion? How can we properly handle it? Well, first of all, letter A, acknowledge your anger. Acknowledge your anger. And I'm not saying, listen, anger is not a sin. It's not a sin. When you feel you've been wrong, don't conceal your anger, but acknowledge that emotion that's brewing inside of you. Acknowledge that emotion, and this is going to help you to deal with it properly, all right? The Bible says in Psalm 109, verse 22, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God, all right? I'm angry. But then letter B, I think it's important to back off for a moment. To back off for a moment. Take a breath. And think about this. Investigate the anger that you're experiencing. Has there been a wrong that actually took place? Or maybe you have a distorted anger. Don't just explode in your words. Think it through. And take some time to calm down. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 4, verse 4. It says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." Be still. Walk away. Take a walk. Take some time and calm down. Rebuke isn't a screaming match. It's not destruction. It's construction. And you want to make sure that the message is received. I think this, waiting will help you from, it's going to help you from saying some things you regret, from doing some things you regret. You're going to want to take some time to locate the focus of that anger. Am I justified in being angry at the situation? And then letter C, consider your options. Remember, your response should be edifying. The Bible says if your brother offends you, then what does the Bible say? It doesn't say that you should go to all your other brothers and tell them what they did. You're to go to your brother alone. And you are to deal with it in a godly way. To be willing to forgive and not allow bitterness to control you. To not allow anger to control you is a godly response. And you know what? You may even decide after calming down that there wasn't a wrong at all. There wasn't a sin at all. And maybe you've decided that you're just going to overlook the matter. That it's not that important. You don't want to lose your testimony over the situation. When I first came to Kitchener, probably 17 years ago, I worked at a company. When I first came to Kitchener, it was in Guelph, and me and another man were working at this appliance place, and we were brought into the office because of something that hadn't been done. We've been asked by a customer at their house if we would switch over a refrigerator door. It was a right swing. They wanted a left swing. And we simply said, well, it's going to cost $25 to do that. Well, the customer called the office, and he was very upset. He was angry. And so we were brought into the office, and the appliance manager was talking with us. And before we could say anything, this guy who claimed to be a Christian just started to scream at us. I mean, I was probably working there maybe 3 days, and I just stood there, and he was just red-faced, losing it. I mean, he could not control himself. He was telling us that we were bad employees. He told us that, he said specifically, he knew me, he said I was a bad testimony, a bad Christian. He called us lazy. I mean, he must have had a list, because he went through everything. And after he had paused for a moment to catch his breath, I said, well, the owner told us, the owner of the company, the guy who owned the business, said that changing fridge doors was no longer free. You had to pay $25 to do that. And he paused and he says he did. And I said, yep. So he left. He talked to the owner. He came back and he apologized. All because of what? Because he didn't ask. He just assumed. Consider your options. Back off for a moment. Acknowledge your anger. And then this is the last one, letter D. Do something constructive. Do something constructive. If you let the offense go, then maybe you need to confess any sin to the Lord. Maybe you need to ask God to give you victory. If you decide that the best choice is to let that offense go, then you need to ask God to give you grace to find victory in that situation. Maybe you need to pray for that person, that God would help them. If you choose to confront that person, then ask God to give you wisdom and a forgiving spirit. And listen to the explanation, because it might give you a different perspective. Do your best to make things right. Listen, here's the truth. You can't control someone else's anger toward you. You can't reason with unreasonable people, but you can always control your response, and you are only accountable for your own response. So do your best to make things right. And our goal as Christians in everything is to make sure God is glorified. And so, anger is a part of life and is present. It can be destructive. There's no doubt about it. That's why the Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence, because from your heart flow the issues of life. You want to make sure that you guard your heart, because from your heart flow the very responses of your life. And remember that anger is only one letter short of danger. And anger has a purpose. It's for making things better and building lives, not tearing them down. Remember that sometimes your perspective of unrighteousness is different than God's. And take a moment and pause. Make sure God is glorified in your response. Make sure that edification happens. And we want to make sure all of us live a life that is glorifying to the Lord. Because Jesus was angry, but he was angry at their sin. But if they would have got their hearts right with God, he would have took them back like that. Because God is holy and God is love. But God is not angry. He experiences anger. But he is not, that's not his nature. And we don't want to be known as an angry person. We want to be known as a loving person who loves righteousness. God, help us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done. And I pray you would help.